Good morning, everyone. Now is the time to open your activity packs. Okay, I've been through my sermon this morning, so you may enjoy the activity packs rather than listen, but that's completely up to you. Thank you for your welcome. I've been here many times, either for ministers' meetings or for Worcestershire Baptist Church gatherings, and so forth, but the first time on a Sunday. So this is exciting for me. If it might not be quite as exciting for you, but it is for me. And it's also interesting because sometimes when you go and visit churches, you're given a free rein or you're given a series. Very rarely are you given four verses, a theme, a title, and everything else. So, but with the freedom, you don't have to use all this, but I have tried to draw some of the strands together. I believe you're going through a series called Signs of Hope, and there are some Bible references this morning from, first of all, from 2 Chronicles, which I'm not going to read, but just to tell you about. It's the story of the people of Israel being taken into exile by the Babylonians, about the city of Jerusalem being destroyed, the temple devastated, looted, and so forth. And in a sense, the 2 Chronicles passage sets the scene for the remainder of the passages. And then Psalm 137, which I am going to read at least part of it. And some of you, depending on your age, may feel the urge to burst into song at any point, if you want to do that. And if the younger people are thinking, I haven't any idea what you're talking about, that's fine as well. Okay. What's the group, by the way? Boney M. Okay, there you go. See, I knew I was amongst friends this morning. So, Psalm 137 says this, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy." And then another passage I was given, which we're actually going to be using as we go through, was from 2 Peter. And maybe this is in a response to how do we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. From 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll start at verse 5, halfway through. "All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Let's just pray as we look at God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open these words to our hearts and open our hearts to your word. For this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to start this morning with a big thank you to yourselves and the people of Bromsgrove, the city, and so forth. Because I come here regularly to watch Worcester City. And because of your kindness, we now play at the Victoria Ground. Because Worcester City, we're a club in exile. We have no place to lay our woolly hats and call home anymore. We're wandering around through the world, and to your kindness, last season and this season, you have said, come and cheer our beloved turf. And yesterday, I was there watching us. I don't know what tier now. I've lost count how many places we have fallen. But we are still going, well, not strong, but we're going. Yesterday, I looked at the green pitch. And sometimes you've got to look like that. There's a bit of a slope on the pitch. But nevertheless, I was looking at the pitch and admiring. But I was also, I've got to confess, harping back to the good old days. St. George's Lane in Worcester. Remembering there, standing under the shed. It's called the shed because it looks just like a shed. And there when it rained, the rain would come through and you get soaked all the way down the back of your neck. It was beautiful. And remembering the days of old, there at St. George's Lane in Worcester, before the ground was demolished and now housing now is there. But I could go even further back and reminisce to 2003, and I was on the banks of another river, the River Mersey, that sacred land. I was a member of the local choir. You'll see a picture of the local choir coming up here. Here it is. And there on that sacred ground, I would regularly sing the Lord's songs. Walk on, with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. You can't get more spiritual than that, can you? And it was from this sacred land that the Lord called me overseas, or at least over the River Mersey, to a place called Worcestershire. So from Liverpool and the Beatles to Worcester City and Elgar. Very similar in many different ways. What might be even more of a challenge, I thought, was that the locals speak a completely different language to what we speak. You know what I mean? It's completely different. Friends, this was cross-cultural mission at its most extreme. And so from the big city of Liverpool to a village called Fernhill Heath. This is a picture of Fernhill Heath. Foundation stone there was laid on that building in 1903. I arrived in 2003, 100 years later, and my biggest fear was they were doing well. I didn't want to mess it up after they'd been going for 100 years. The membership there at the time was about 28, and since then I've sadly taken the funeral of quite a lot of the membership. Almost half have now gone to be with the Lord from that original number. At the time, the church couldn't afford a minister. They could afford a student, and they could only afford 25% of the stipend. And so they looked elsewhere to how we could support ministry. And thankfully, 25% of the other part-time funding came from Home Mission. So once again, I want to thank the people of Bromsgrove. Hopefully your giving to Home Mission has helped people down the road at Fernhill Heath to have ministry and to continue God's kingdom work. Home Mission is the Baptist family way that we can help mission at home in lots of different ways, including small churches just down the road. When I first went to Fernhill Heath, I can remember speaking to the deacons and saying, what's the vision? And one deacon took me aside and said, at the moment, it's to survive. For him, that was a realistic thing. But this next picture shows that this wasn't always the case. People would tell me the stories of how Sunday school used to be. In the past, young people used to pack the small chapel. In those days, Christianity seemed so well respected. And the Sunday school outing was the big event for young people of the year. They would pack their coaches, or in those days we even had a train station, and off to Weston-super-Mare, to a thing called the Sea, which coming from Liverpool, it seems a long way to get to the sea from around here. But over time, and by when I arrived in 2003, just a handful of people attended Sunday school. And if the Sunday school mirrors other activities, you could become quite pessimistic about church life. Overall in our nation, church attendance seems to be continuing to decline. Some people are feeling Christian values are continually being undermined. People are worried about the unstable world with politics and terrorism and conflicts, even nuclear threats. Times are uncertain. Everything can seem so alien, even, or maybe especially, when we remember how it used to be. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Or as the Message translation says, alongside Babylon's rivers, we sat on the banks, we cried and cried, remembering the good old days in Zion. So here's a question for us this morning. How can we sing the Lord's song today when everything seems so strange? When we can feel like we're in a different land to how it used to be? I'm going to tell you something of the story of Fernal Heath. There's a danger when you tell your own story. It's not a spectacular story. And it's not your story or your context. This is a story of a small church in a rural context, learning to sing the Lord's song today in a land that sometimes seems so very different to what it used to do. And I'm going to tell the story mainly from the perspective of ministry to young people, because I think it just illustrates the point so well. And maybe we can be challenged by this story ourselves and think about what maybe God is saying to each of us this morning. I mentioned I arrived in 2003, just a handful of young people on Sunday morning. And now, because of my dynamic, creative, Spirit-filled, anointed ministry, the church today has exactly the same number. This doesn't sound like a story of success. This is not one to include in the Baptist Times to encourage us all about God's anointing and blessing on the way things are going. But maybe as we go through the story, we'll see that we are still singing the Lord's song. It might just be a little bit different to the way we used to sing it. And maybe as we reflect on this story and think of the people in exile in Babylon and Fernal Heath's story to survive, together we might hear what God is saying to us. So here's the first maybe point from 1 Peter on how we can sing the Lord's song and how we can start our journey of singing the Lord's song in a different land. And it's this: humble yourselves. 1 Peter said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. For the exiled people in Babylon, being captive in a different land, seeing Jerusalem destroyed, the walls torn down, the temple demolished, that really does exercise your faith. And your faith and your hope in the future is tested. And at such times when you're concerned about the future, sometimes it can be a little bit easier to humble yourselves before the Lord. When Fernal Heath was looking for a student minister, they rarely sought the Lord. When survival was in some people's mind, it's easier to cry for help. And when we've been looking in recent years, how do we minister to young people? We have earnestly sought the Lord's guidance. Maybe some people even thinking desperately, what's the church going to look like in 20 years' time? We had a week of prayer. That's one of the adverts up there if you can't read it. It was just a time of praying at the start of the year, focusing on a couple of things. One of those things being our ministry to the young people. We decided to run a holiday club. You can't go wrong with a holiday club. So we thought. We knew the local school, they agreed, it was a great idea. They put notices in all the bags of all the children, said it was fantastic, it would fit in well with what other children were doing during half term and so forth. And you know when the Lord speaks to you really clearly, but not in an expected way? No one turned up. And I mean, no one. And we had it all well planned. We had prayer teams going on. We had all the literature. We had the advertising. We had worked with the school. We were down on these. And no one turned up. And we thought, the Lord is saying something to us. We're just not quite sure what. And around this time, some of our Anglican friends wanted to do Open the Book in the local school. I don't know whether you've heard this or involved in Open the Book. Lots of churches are. It's where you go into a local school and take assemblies and take Bible stories. The adults love it because they get dressed up with tea towels on their heads and they have all the props and they act out the story and the children get involved. And you tell Bible stories from the Lion Storyteller Bible. And our Anglican friend said, well, we'd love to do this, but we don't have enough teams. We only have one team. We'd like to do it with others. And we raised a couple of teams, and together we started to work in the local school. And over the 7 years we've been doing that, in the small village school of just 100 children, each child will hear at least 100 Bible stories whilst they're at school from that assembly. Hundreds of children have now heard Bible stories through that particular initiative. But for us, we still have a handful of children on a Sunday morning, because most of the children who go to our local school don't come from our village. They come from a different catchment area, and they don't come to our church. They go to other churches if they do go anywhere. So we still have a handful of people. But humble yourselves, and God starts to open doors. Here's another one. Help one another. You know, when our church received that Home Mission grant, for bigger churches, maybe like yourselves and others who give to Home Mission, it might seem very impersonal, just money going into a fund. But for us, that was God speaking. That was God saying to us, I care. That was God saying to us, I still have a purpose for Fernal Heath. For us, it was not impersonal. For us, it gave us hope, receiving Home Mission support to be able to support ministry. When Jeremiah spoke to the people in exile in Jeremiah 29, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And this was spoken to the people who were in exile. God had not forgotten his people. And God had not forgotten us. And by other people showing help, it gave us hope. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I think one of the things you do when you humble yourself and you cast all your anxieties on the Lord, that you start to become a little bit more sensitive to seeing the activity of God and how he cares and how he loves you. We started seeing Home Mission support as a sign of God's care. We started seeing other things in ways in which God was showing that he cared for us. And it led to this next one. Be alert, it says in 1 Peter. By the rivers of Babylon in exile, knowing that God still cared for the people, hearing the words of the prophet that God does have a plan for you, gives you great strength. But what do you do next? What should the people of Babylon do next? What should the people of Fernal Heath do next? Jeremiah said, well, build your houses. Plant gardens. Settle down. Get married. Have children. Pray for the prosperity of your city. What was God saying to us in Fernal Heath? In the ordinary, everyday things of life, how could we be a light and shine and be a blessing to others? It was almost a discipline, like God was saying to us, be alert. Watch where I'm already working and join in. God was, of course, working in the local school with Open the Book. And so we developed the relationship more with the local school. The local school comes to us now on a regular basis to our church. And we've got links with Uganda, and our Ugandan links are links now with the local school there and so forth. We've got governors on the school and various things. The Brownies were meeting at the church, and we could never get the Brownies to become part of anything that we were doing. We thought, well, wait a minute, let's just be a blessing to where they are at. So we asked the Brownies the other year and said, can we give you a Christmas experience at the end of one of your normal sessions? They said, yeah, is it okay to bring the parents? So we had all the parents and the Brownies last Christmas at the end of what the Brownies would normally do to be a blessing to them, and the church was packed. We have a toddler group that meets at the church, which is not a church-run thing. We didn't have the resources to do it. But during the half terms and the summer holidays, they don't have one. The leaders want a well-earned rest. But some of the mums and the dads still wanted to meet. So we said, well, maybe during the half terms and the summers, that's where we could help. We'd love it, they said. So this last summer, we've had 34 young people come to the church with their parents and their grandparents and so forth to be part of just a, we call it stay and play, and they have lunch, a bit like messy church, but it's like toddlers to about 6 or 8. Just to be a blessing to them and for where they're at. What was God already doing? And where could we be a blessing and join in just to be alert? One of the things this has taught us in all these things, and this final, almost final slide is this, is to keep a kingdom perspective. It is so easy when you're looking to survive as a church to look inwardly and to look at your own situation and get so bogged down. In 1 Peter it says, resist him standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. When you seek God to sing his song in a foreign land, it's good to have a kingdom perspective, to have a bigger perspective of what's going on. In a sense, that's the story of the book of Revelation, isn't it? Where the church was struggling and God says, now look at a heavenly perspective and see what is really going on. To see the bigger picture. And just to give, I suppose, another little example of that, again regarding young people. Over the last 6 or 7 years, we've had a relationship with a church in Uganda. They're a big cathedral in northwest Uganda, and they've got a relationship with us, a small chapel in the UK. They have lots of young people. Their Sunday school has about 800 meeting. They have 3 services. We don't have 3 services, nor do we have 800 people at our Sunday school. And they have a boys and girls brigade. We don't have any boys and girls brigade. But we've been having a growing relationship over recent times with Droitwich Baptist Church and Rainbow Hill Baptist Church, 2 more small churches. And Droitwich have a thriving boys brigade and girls association. And we've been able to link them up now with the church in Uganda, and they're communicating with one another and blessing one another. We still have just a small number of children on a Sunday morning. But in the bigger picture, God is moving. And in fact, that relationship with Rainbow Hill and Droitwich has developed as we're learning to encourage one another. 3 small churches, very different. Rainbow Hill in a challenging part of Worcester, ourselves in a rural community, Droitwich in a town centre church. Thought, how could we maybe work together better? And so we now meet to pray together, share some services, share some resources as we help one another, and also bless one another where young people are concerned. We call it synergy, but better working together than apart. And recently, you'll see one of the pictures there, the top left, is a picture of Droitwich. I think today, their sanctuary area has all been dug up. They're having a new floor laid. They've just had a part-time minister recently, Ian, been appointed. And there's a new vision and a new building work going on. And they're receiving hope from home mission. And the story is continuing there at Droitwich as they're enabled to have ministry through home mission. And with our support and work together, they're seeing new life coming in that place. And little by little, having that kingdom perspective helps. Here's a final slide, and this is a final slide. Friends, let us keep on singing the Lord's song. 1 Peter 5 verse 10 says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Did I tell you that we still just have a small group of young people meeting on a Sunday morning? We do. But we've had ministers in training who've passed through and we've tried to bless. We've had students from IMC come through and we've tried to bless. We're trying to bless the local school through Open the Book and the local toddler group through Stay and Play and the Brownies and the church in Uganda. And I'm thrilled that my nephew is going to spend 6 months in Uganda next year working with the youth of the cathedral. He's into sports ministries and so forth. So he's going to be working with two local football teams doing youth work and establishing a discipleship group for young people using football and various things and using the Scripture Union Higher Sport in the 4 or 5 primary schools in which we work over there. But did I tell you, we've still got a small group of young people on a Sunday morning. But somehow, I still think God might be smiling. And somehow I think that some of our young people who we do have may grow up and they may come to an age when they think, you know, I'd rather go to a youth group at a bigger church, like St. Peter's down the road, which happens, or Bromsgrove or wherever. And you know, that's okay. That's what my nephew did. He, my home church, he stayed there for about 14 years. I baptized him there. One Sunday school teacher, he was usually the only child in the class. And then at 15, 16, he left to go to a bigger church where there was a youth group and his life flourished. But I often think of Barbara, who was a Sunday school teacher. And now my nephew Andrew ministers to hundreds and thousands of children. It's good to get a kingdom perspective, how we can still sing the Lord's song, maybe differently to the way we used to do it. For us, in this particular case, it's not the same as it used to be. But I still think we're singing. And I still think we're excited about what God is doing. And I still think through humbling ourselves and seeking God and allowing others to help and being alert to what God is doing and having a kingdom perspective, I still think God is just as active as he's always been. It's just a different song. But it's good to sing it.